Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
I want to try to control myself today and really calmly go over where we stand as a human population on this tiny planet. And really break down the nature of the ruling class that is in control of our society and why they are engaging in a war against humanity, a war against intellect, a war against health, a war against truth. Why is that being done? Well, it's easier to break things and dominate things and wreck things than to build people up. And the globalists can just barely pull out every stop and engage in every dirty trick and do the most horrible things they can get away with against humanity and maintain control. They could not maintain control unless they were totally ruthless and pulled out all the stops and became pure evil. And they want the power, so they've done it. There's the answer in shorthand. But I want to try to flesh that out a bit, because knowing the enemy is half the battle. Knowing yourself is the other half. And of course, taking action is the imperative, because if you know your enemy and know yourself, you will take action. But knowledge, being aware of things, the people perish for lack of knowledge really is the key. Now, if the global controllers really weren't just being competitive with each other and they actually looked further down the road, they would see the type of system that's being developed and being established is very, very dangerous for the ruling class itself, but there's an overall hubris, a nihilistic icing as well, or cherry on top of this dehumanizing confection that has been manifested. And if people think that's a scary paradigm I'm talking about, they haven't read history. Also, more and more I begin to realize that we are governed by fear. And I know that's an obvious statement. You're like, tell me something I didn't know, Mr. Sherlock. But do we really consciously understand what a mind killer fear really is? It is. And it is the attempt to go along with the system and the belief that that way leads towards success, sustainability, security, empowerment. That idea is the greatest lie of all. Because when you get a nation and a world of yes men and women, when you get a bunch of biological androids who don't consciously discover the mysteries of the universe for themselves, and who just do whatever they think is popular, you might as well just be a computer sitting here on a table. Because you're just going with whatever you're programmed with. And the message that go with this programming, do what everybody else is doing, and you'll be successful. Really, I see a lot of people doing what everybody else does that aren't successful. I'll tell you who really is successful in life, for good and for evil, and for all the points in between, that's mavericks, trailblazers, original thinkers. And that's why the globalists poison the food and the water and the culture and engage in that ultimate sin, is because they themselves are locked into a conformity of evil. They are locked in to a conformity of corruption. They are in their own mafia, their own gang, their own secret society, their own syndrome of psychopathic worldview. And they cannot break out of it. They fear the maverick true human. And their entire system is designed to dominate that which they fear. Now, I just laid the hardcore truth on you. We're going to break down the news and a lot more, and a big guest, David Icke, coming up. Stay with us.
Big Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Thursday, the 21st day of June 2012. I'm your host, Alex Jones. Again, thank you for joining us for this hour of resistance against tyranny. Always informative, always thought-provoking. David Icke will be joining us coming up in the second hour of the worldwide broadcast today. And Mark Moreno was unable to get his internet working in Rio de Janeiro down there at the big UN World Government conference yesterday. She'll be joining us via landline in the last 30 minutes today. Lord Monckton tomorrow. I also talked to Billy Corgan of the Smashing Pumpkins yesterday. His new album's out. I'm going to tape an interview with him this weekend because he's about to leave the country and go do a tour in South America. And we'll be airing that. It should be on Monday or so. That should be quite informative. Okay. Where to start here? Obviously, there is the big news of House panel voting to cite Holder for contempt of Congress and the White House coming out and making the announcement that they're deploying executive privilege. Now, executive privilege is if you have as the president, a private meeting with an ambassador to discuss private matters of their government so that you as the president can understand delicate issues, and then somebody in the House of Representatives who wants to make a name for themselves or whatever demands to know what you said in that private meeting, and that's what happened with the first case of executive privilege in George Washington, then it is kosher. But if you're Richard Nixon, who sends a bunch of burglars, FBI agents and people like G. Gordon Liddy to break into the Democratic National Committee's headquarters and to break into psychologists and psychiatrist offices to get dirt on people, you're not above the law. And that's the mistake Obama has made declaring executive privilege on this. This is not the type of executive privilege that's been upheld. This is a big sign that they are in hot water. And, of course, first they said that these documents didn't exist, that they're now declaring executive privilege on. And I am going to go back, in fact, maybe later in the broadcast today, because Rob Dew is out getting some equipment right now. I meant to tell him yesterday to get this. Or actually, I did say it over air, but never personally gave him the message that I want the newscast we did earlier this year with the news clips from 2 years ago, plus of the Attorney General, Eric Holder, the head of Homeland Security, Big Sis, Jan Napolitano, and others, talking about Fast and Furious and Operation Gunrunner in press conferences and talking about how they'd launched the operations. Now, the details weren't known. They were vague. But by admitting the programs, there they are admitting that obviously they, the heads of these big agencies, had given the orders. And the FBI, the ATF, the Border Patrol, the Coast Guard, and four other agencies, this all came out in the Chicago Tribune a year and a half ago. This all came out in the El Paso Times a year and a half ago. This all came out at InfoWars.com and PrisonPlanet.com almost 2 years ago. In fact, we're always so busy covering the next news story that we rarely toot our horn. And look, we told you a week into it that Stuxnet was an Israeli-U.S. created program, probably working with Microsoft, according to our top tech experts that we had on. The Washington Post is being congratulated yesterday for breaking the fact that it was an Israeli-U.S. government/industry weapon, and that now a spinoff of that, the Flame virus, is wrecking computers all over. And the government is simultaneously saying, give us more cybersecurity to take your rights away and to spy on you and put control hubs in everywhere in the infrastructure of all ISPs, even more that are there now, with all the EAS crud, emergency alert system, and they are now pushing this entire takeover agenda on the backs of viruses they launched. Just like our criminal government, illegitimate foreign banker occupied system. I mean, it's not the government. It calls itself that. Created Al-Qaeda. Had the hijackers trained at U.S. bases. We don't know exactly what happened on 9/11, but I mean, it's a fact. AP, Reuters, Newsweek, that generals and colonels at the bases said, my gosh, these guys on the news all trained at our base in spy training. In Florida and California, and they went public. And it was just swept under the rug. Never mind Muhammad Atta and the other hijackers with their government credit cards and living with FBI informants and visiting topless bars and being protected and running drills of hijacking jets. We know they were agents who thought they were taking part in drills that go on all the time. Try to get bombs on planes, try to get guns on planes. You know, that's why cops and others, if they try to hire you, to the feds do, to take part in a drill, most of the time it is a drill. But sometimes they're going to blow up a building and say, you did it. They're very sophisticated. Have you seen Arlington Road, where the terrorist? It's a very sophisticated movie because they imply they're really a government group. If you watch the movie, it's very sophisticated. They trick the professor, who they've profiled, who's a constitutionalist, into showing up thinking he's about to stop a bombing, and then he actually triggers it so they can have him as the patsy on the news. And that's the type of stuff they do. So you better understand that's how this works. The guys on 7-7, led by known MI6 agent, Fox News, BBC, Reuters, look it up. Exact drills of exact targets being hit at the exact same time. Look it up. London Underground drill. They tell the guys, take these backpacks on. They were supposed to hit three buses and three trains, but instead they only hit two trains and a bus. A bunch of them figured out what was happening, ran for their lives, were gunned down at Canary Wharf. That even came out but was shut down. Guys are running. The police shoot them, kill them all right there on the spot. Later they killed a bunch of witnesses as well. I mean, this is what went on. I mean, the police would walk up to people in the street and on subways for weeks after. All right, hold them up against the wall and unload a clip right in their head, just getting rid of witnesses. Because they carried out that attack. And they got these secularized Muslims who wanted to climb to the social ranks and had been hired as informants to take part in drills, and they sure did, didn't they? They sure did. Exact bus and exact trains at the exact time and exact location. ITN, BBC, I could play the newscast for you right now. I've played it probably 50 times. If you don't believe me, just type it in. ITN, drills of 7-7 bombings, or BBC, drills of 7-7 bombings, and you'll have them admitting it. And why? To hide it in plain view, because if everybody's freaking out that took part in the drill and figuring out they were set up and used as cover in case other agencies that weren't part of it discovered it, or if things went wrong, they start speaking out. The program in the psych warfare manuals they're using is to go ahead and hide it in plain view and come out and say, oh, yes, we're running a drill of the exact same targets, exact same time, exact same place being hit. It's quite astounding. And then people see that and think, well, I don't have to whistleblow now. This is admitted. So I'm teaching you psych warfare secrets here, like a magician showing you the tricks. I've just reverse engineered it all. Later, I get declassified documents. It's exactly what I've already reverse engineered in my mind, but literally word for word, because I'm watching them do it and they're following manuals. So I'm seeing word for word what's in the manual. Let me give you another manual for false flags that, by the way, was in one of the WikiLeaks documents the Army admitted was accurate. Army captains and above who were in black ops special forces training for force multiplication have been taught at least since 1986 how to stage false flag terror attacks as a force multiplier. You're outnumbered 100-1. You know, in a month, the local group's going to invade that area. You commit a massacre. You kill a couple little kids down by the river, leave enemy mementos there to get the local tribe to unify behind you. And the argument they give these commanders is, you take the little kid, you hang him. It's very sad, but you'll save hundreds of children. You're strong enough to understand that, aren't you, Captain? Yes, sir, I'm ready to take this mission. Good. And 10 years after you've been killing little kids in the jungle in force multiply, you're loading explosives into World Trade Center 1, 2, and 7. That's how the twisting to the dark side works. Would you like me to continue here today? Because believe me, the system doesn't like this. People say, well, why are you still alive? Because if they kill me, it will make me a martyr, and everything I've said will then be seen as prophetic. They still may do it. People say, well, then why are you speaking out? Because there's no future unless we beat these people. They've made the decision to be more evil than evil in the name of protecting society, and it doesn't work that way. It's like the Ring of Mordor. It's been turned towards evil, and we're all going to hell in a handbasket here. How did I go from the hijackers in drills off into black ops and off into how they set people up? I don't know. The point is that it's all extremely important and you need to be made aware of it. And I guess false flag attacks is on my mind, because if I was Obama and the cliques and the power structure that support him, the gangs and the overall governing predator class that are using him as a pawn right now, they're either going to go ahead and let Obama be destroyed, maybe even impeached, or they're going to use this to trigger the pretext for the Phoenix to rise again with false flag terror attacks. So that's probably why I'm getting off into terror attacks. Oh, I started getting off into terror attacks talking about how the West runs Al-Qaeda. Okay, we're going to come back and get into the Nixonian death spiral politically of the lame duck, Mr. Obama, straight ahead. Okay, I want to get into the news here ahead of David Icke joining us, and then we'll have open phones for part of the interview with David and calls into the third hour today with Moreno popping in from Rio de Janeiro. Again, he couldn't make it yesterday because of internet problems. There are a lot of different things I want to get into today, obviously, but Barack Obama declaring executive privilege, and the media is sitting there debating back and forth whether or not he can do this. Could Obama declare executive privilege for, say, selling crack cocaine? Could George W. Bush do that? No, you can't. Could Barack Obama declare executive privilege for, say, not paying his, quote, income taxes to the private Federal Reserve? No, he couldn't. Could Barack Obama declare executive privilege on raping a woman on the White House lawn or roasting a puppy dog on the White House lawn? The answer is no, he couldn't. And so what we see here is this normalization of corruption. It's just like when the troops got caught openly being ordered to grow opium, and they were speaking out against it 5 years ago. They just started having newscasts everywhere admitting they grow the opium to demystify it and claim that it's patriotic to do it. And here's the headline: heroin use is soaring amongst suburban teenagers as death from drug more than double in Europe, England, the United States, you name it. It's pouring in. Because they've gone from 10% of world production to 93% in just 10 years in Afghanistan, thanks to the liberation. And again, the police pull you over and ask you. I had a cop one time pull me over in Austin when I was coming home from a business meeting. He said, have you been drinking? And I said, no. He said, have you done any illegal drugs like heroin, cocaine, PCP? And I just started laughing at him. And I said, come on, you know who brings all that in. I said, do I look like I use heroin, cocaine, or PCP? It's 10 o'clock at night, and I'm driving home working. No, I don't use heroin, cocaine, or PCP. But I've had a whole lot of coffee, buddy. Is that okay? I mean, it's a joke. The government ships it in publicly. The big banks launder it. And we have a debate about decriminalizing this. They don't want to decriminalize it because they make 100 times the money, literally. When my grandmother was a little girl, she could go down, if somebody had a toothache at her house, and just grab a bottle of laudanum for grandma who, you know, had a lot of toothaches because she liked laudanum. I'm giving a hypothetical story. The point is that you could buy cocaine, heroin, opium, anything you wanted, and drug use was much lower. You make alcohol illegal for 10 years, 9.5 years during prohibition, crime more than tripled. Corruption of police. Everybody knows this. Again, but people say, oh, I'm scared to say that. They might get me. They're going to get you. And I'm going to say this, then come back and get into news. But we had a general manager on yesterday, one of Eric Mueller, ManCow's stations. And he's heard from like 60 of his stations that when I'm on or Jesse Ventura's on talking about FEMA camps, it gets scrambled. And by the way, ManCow's freaked out. I mean, you know, he jokes around a lot. He's actually freaked out. This is really happening. And we've gotten some calls this is happening. So that's why I think it's the EAS at the station. It's not the satellites, even though the government has the criminals that have hijacked the government. I've got to decondition myself as well, re-educate myself. The criminals that have hijacked the government have these illegal backdoors into everything. They admit they do. 2 months ago, Petraeus, head of the CIA, bragged in a press conference that they're listening to everything without warrants, and they're tracking everything. And the smart meters are really these hubs, like, you know, Google cars that have those little mast with all the tech in it to grab all your communications. That's what the smart meter is. And we had this general manager on. And he goes, listen, I'm just a guy trying to sell advertising, stay afloat. I got a wife and kids. Hey, I get that. You think, hey, my number one job as a father is to make a living morally and take care of my wife and children. I get that. But there's no future. It'd be like 1941 Germany and saying, well, I got to do what I'm told or something will happen. And then overall, 20 million Germans got killed. Did you know that? Close to a third of their population from 1940 to 45, gone. I think the number is 21 million Germans died one way or another. I mean, was it, should you have said no up front or gone along with this? People say, well, I'll just keep my head down and hope I'm okay. That's the attitude that destroys civilizations. That's the attitude that brings slavery. And I'm not knocking that general manager. By the end of it, he's like, no, I guess I'll put more shows on like ManCow and yours. I actually got a call from a bunch of stations. ManCow stations wanting to get me after that show yesterday. The general managers and program directors understood that, oh, yeah, if we don't say no now, it's all over. See, that's the thing. We've gotten to this position by giving in, by being afraid, by doing what the authorities say, when the authorities are a bunch of crooks out of control. You going to turn your guns in if Obama says so?
Listening to an Infowars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I'm going to get back into fear in a moment and then the Watergate developments for Barack Obama. But first, I want to remind you of the CEO of Gibson Guitar we had on late last year. I want to get him back on. He has been raided now, what, 3 separate times over wood that they've legally bought from India and other areas that's totally renewable, that is modified product because they have a law in India that they've got to do some finishing of the wood, and it's a Made in America guitar. He follows all the rules. He has letters from India and letters from Africa where they get the wood, and it doesn't matter. The feds raid them every 6 months or so and take everything they've got as evidence, trying to shut them down because it is a war against this country. You've seen where Department of Homeland Security, now setting up Homeland Security checkpoints everywhere out of their jurisdiction, and they're not even sworn officers, and it's violating the Fourth Amendment all over the country, are now raiding swap meets, trying to find people selling used, not just counterfeit NFL paraphernalia. Supreme Court just ruled yesterday, a bunch of big rulings are set to come out today or in the next week. No one's sure. It could be the healthcare announcement, immigration. We're going to be talking about that. They just ruled yesterday that, or to be technical, they ruled Tuesday and then it came out yesterday. I saw it yesterday that you can't sell your iPhone to someone as a used product because of copyright clauses in the contract you sign when you buy it. You don't really own it. They always own it. The fine print basically says that you're renting it, and that's why they can database you, listen to you, track you. It's total fraud by folks that, you know, are running the company like Al Gore, who wants total profits, so he has suicide nets strung up around their factories in China. I'm not kidding. Look it up. Meanwhile, though, they have new TV ads out lecturing whites that were all racist and evil and bad to create more division. We're going to be talking about those pieces of propaganda coming up, and I'm going to play a clip of the ads that are being aired in places like Minnesota. But I'm digressing. Now Homeland Security has gone into an auction house of a legally dug 70-million-year-old dinosaur fossil, and we'll put that article on screen. U.S. takes control of dinosaur skeleton in New York auction Friday. That's Fox out of D.C. And the Associated Press is also reporting on it. And again, it's not the U.S. It's the banker's receivership arm who are raiding people's houses over counterfeit hair curlers. Remember that last month? They're involved in everything. Homeland Security is involved in everything, including school proms. They're now saying it's got to be federally certified, and TSA has to train your local police on the frisking procedures if you want to have a federal certification, which they say you have to have. So they're ordering everyone to be groped out of their jurisdiction, not sworn police. You think I'm joking? Just look it up. Judge orders TSA perform pat-downs at school proms. Look it up. First article that comes up is Santa Fe, New Mexico. And you're like, are you kidding? Yeah, Bloomberg's banning soft drinks above 16 ounces and now popcorn and milk products. And other cities are now adopting in other states. Yes, we're not joking. See, this is what tyranny is. It's a bunch of crooks literally there to break your will. But I'm now digressing. You legally go get wood and you bring it here and you make guitars. And the feds raid you over and over again, and then nothing ever comes of it. It's the raid is meant to shut you down. You go dig up a dinosaur, and I mean, these things are literally just all over the place. They've dug up a whole bunch of plesiosaurs, you name it, in the Onion Creek, Lake Travis area. I mean, I find all sorts of incredible fossils on a routine basis. Arrowheads. I'm now seeing reports of where if you find an arrowhead on your own land, the government is coming and trying to grab it. They're just a bunch of crooks. You've heard about police all over the country now pulling people over and taking $500 out of your wallet. No judge, no jury, no arrest. They say, you give me this money or I'm going to arrest you. Well, I'm not going to give you the money. That's the only cases we know of, because then they go ahead and arrest you. We're going to take the car, too, and say that's drugs. Meanwhile, the Marines and Army are growing it. But let me show people watching on PrisonPlanet.tv, not just listening on the radio. I happen to have a 60-plus million-year-old crocodile skull here. These things are so plentiful, they're not even very expensive. This one comes out of Morocco. And when I bought it, they told me these are going to be a lot more in a year. I bought it as a present for my dad. I'm borrowing it to show viewers. That human skull is one that my dad had from medical school. That's a real human skull right there by the crocodile skull. I'm going to have a piece on this on Monday. I'm just going to leave it at that until then. You'll see what the piece has to do with. We're going to premiere it here. And then for all the radio listeners, you can go to InfoWars.com, and we'll have the video posted there for everybody as well. So don't feel left out. But there are the two skulls, one 65 million years old, one man who died in India in the 1950s. That skull's from India. Speaking of products from India, India later banned the exportation of human bones because, you know, in the old days, they were almost all from India. And that's why we didn't have plastic bones at medical school and dental school. Had the real ones because that was their main export. But it was seen as dehumanizing, and so no more. Really? My grandfather gave his body to medical science. Is that dehumanizing? I thought it was the opposite, about not being squeamish, not being hung up on your body, not being vain, not caring of a bunch of medical students sit there and look at an old dead man. I think the fact that this guy isn't in the ground or wasn't cremated as they do in India most of the time actually gives more life to it. I think it'd kind of be neat if my skeleton hung in a medical school somewhere so I could still have a connection to the living. Not out of any vanity, but out of a love of humanity. I feel the connection all the way back to my ancestors, right through to today, and I can project out towards the horizon for my progeny. It's like electricity. It's a connection to the past, the present, and the future. But if the globalists extinct humanity or destroy our genetics or irrevocably change who we are, as they say they're doing right now, then that chain is destroyed. And I can look out into the future and I see a haze on the horizon. I'm not sure in my ancient, hardwired, super programming, you know it is your subconscious, the giant library that is my instincts and everything that my ancestors passed on to me, I do not know if humanity is going to make it into the future. I see so far into the future, and then I see a haze. Is death and the beauty that is humanity, is death all that is in our future? People are so fascinated with death. But even a skull, which is a symbol of death for many, for me, it's a symbol of life, the amazing species we are. Other creatures' skulls look nothing like that, do they? What an amazing, superior species, no doubt. When I was a child, the skull had all of its teeth. One time, my parents' blue healer somehow got up on the bookshelf and got it and chewed on it a bit. And my dad actually taught in dental school. To be technical, he got this at the end of dental school because they wanted him to stay on and teach some there. And that's when he got this skull. So he taught at Baylor Dental School with this skull. It's illegal to have one of these if you're not in the medical profession. This is on loan here to us from my father. But I will be talking more about this. The reason the skull's here is we're doing a video. Imagine what it's about. I've got a 65-million-year-old crocodile skull, and I've got a human skull. What is the video production going to be about, I wonder? Okay, enough of that. Getting into the nature of fear. I talked to grown men. And going back like 15, 16 years ago, people in business, government, you name it, they would come over and talk to me in a restaurant or on the hike and bike trail or at the Capitol or at a radio station. And they'd say, you know, you're right about a lot of this, but what are you going to do about it? You're going to protect yourself, Mr. Jones, if you try to join the system and work within it to be a balancing force. And I'd say, well, there's no balance when we're headed a million miles an hour towards total dehumanization and enslavement. The balance is standing steadfastly against that and not compromising. Because in a world where everybody compromises, except the tyrants, we allow them to take over the planet. And then history shows the elites themselves cannot control the terminal collapse in society. Because the worst of the worst is automatically the new status quo. You know, let's just say you want to be a little bit corrupt and there's a 5,000-foot deep channel out in the ocean you're swimming in. And corruption is symbolized by being under the surface. And you're like, you know what? I just want to be a little corrupt. I think I'll go 10 feet under here. But you see, the most corrupt in the society, once you give into corruption and evil and all the excuses that come with it, is going to be at the rock bottom. This is a bottomless channel. And so you just want to be a little corrupt, but you're tied to a giant 10,000-pound iron weight or anvil or millstone to your leg with a big chain you can't get out of. And we're sitting out here on the boat, and the anvil's over there on the edge of the ship, and you're like, you know what, Alex? I think you're a square. I think I'm going to go along with corruption. I think abortion's okay. I think open borders is okay. I think world government's kind of trendy. You know, the television said so. I want to be cool. You know, I think Prozac's good. I think being involved is stupid. I'm just going to have fun and care about myself. And I'm like, you better not push that anvil over the side. And the minute you push that anvil over the side, it's going to suck you down to the bottom. And you see, societally, we're all now tied to the anvil going down towards the bottom. And at any time, we could, here's the catch, at any time we could flip a catch and release the chain. And truth and honor and veritas and recognizing good from evil, strength from weakness, beauty from ugliness, justice from corruption, that is the oxygen of everything good. And so even though we're thousands of feet under in a sea of evil and plunging fast and can't even see the light up at the surface, and the system's telling us that memory of the light was a figment of our imaginations and a conspiracy theory, as we plunge downwards, at any time, we can release ourselves. But the dark embrace, the call of the night, the call of the darkness, the call of the evil, a lot of cowards think if they merge with it, if they get into it, if they get good at it, if they serve it, if they kneel before it, that somehow the black wings of the New World Order, that bird of prey, if they snuggle up to it like a little chick, that it's going to be nice to them. And that is not the case. We must resist this system. And it's common sense, but to sit there and have to explain to full-grown men, hey, if you don't start complaining about the direction of where things are going and start saying no, then the sky's the limit. You should be afraid of that, not of what is individually going to happen to you. Sure, some of us have to take a really bold Alamo-level stand, and who knows if we'll make it out of it, because somebody's got to make the stand up front to point out there's a war going on. But the victory would be so easy if people would just recognize what's good from what's bad. It's very, very elementary. Of course, we got into this discussion of good and evil yesterday just briefly because the station manager that we had on was talking about, yeah, when you talk about FEMA camps with ManCal, they scramble it or cut the transmitter off. It's got to be the EAS system, the engineer's saying. What do we do? You know, they admit they've got all this backdoor tech and everything now, and they're doing this as a test, and the president's going to be breaking in and taking over. You know, while we've got a license, you know, they could take it. As if the government is everybody. As if that licensing system says you've got to do whatever the government says. No, you've got to serve the community. Well, is it serving the community to keep the First Amendment and free speech and to warn people about things that are happening? And to admit that these backdoor systems are kicking in and erasing stuff off TiVos, you name it? Or do we just go, oh my gosh, that's kind of scary. I better not say anything about this, as if the FCC and as if the government is just God and we'll just do whatever they say. Because the NRA got documents and reported on this a few months ago in the Washington Times that Obama does intend by executive fiat to ban all semi-autos. And the ATF said earlier this year, until there was such a backlash, they said, okay, we'll do it in the second term. Just look it up. Most shotguns were to be banned. Just type in ATF announces shotgun ban. It said any shotgun that's bottom loading, that's either pump or semi-auto, because you can convert them to clips, they said as a non-sporting function, as if the Second Amendment's sporting, as if that's its only, quote, right, and that they're going to ban them, and it came out like 63% of shotguns sold in the last decade in the numbers I saw. They say they're going to do that. So you're pretty much forced to vote for Mitt Romney, even if you know he's bad, because would he dare do that as a Republican? That would destroy the Republican Party. He still might do it. The point is that, I mean, I'm to the point that if they come out and say, we're banning your shotguns, I'm not turning them in. That's why I'm fighting so hard now to turn this around before we get to the point where it's 1776, Lexington Concord, and they're coming to take our guns. And it's like, okay, I guess that's it. And then the poor moron minions they're going to send at us. This is a planned civil war that's going to wreck the citizens, the police, the military, everybody. Why don't we just come together and not be in this mentality and wake up from this nightmare and not go down this road? I mean, do you understand where we're going? But we've got to have the courage to be honest about it. The globalists want a civil war in this country. We've got to find the way out of this. We've got to be smart enough, and we've got to have the courage to save ourselves. Coming up in the second segment of the next hour. Always interesting, always thought-provoking. We'll have some open phones for him as well. USA Today, that's always used to introduce new propaganda to the public, is reporting on what we reported on a few years ago, because Homeland Security had already announced it. They're going to have three lanes or smart tunnels you go through at the airport. One is a full groping, strip search, everything else. The other is only a basic search, face scan, thumbprint. And the other is trusted globalist minions, the new class system. Everybody's too busy worrying if they're black or white or whatever to recognize this. You know, it's discrimination when Obama supporters get health care waivers, but nobody else does. See, but people only think of race or religion as a discrimination. Now, if the globalists say you're a good little minion, you get to fly not being hassled. That's the new system coming out, and that's being announced. And if they want you to be an informant, you can't fly. 6 months later, the FBI calls you, says, come meet with us. They go, yeah, we'll let you off that list. We know you're not a bad person if you inform on people for us. And they're like, what? Inform on people? Indentured servitude? That's how this system works. But people, again, think of discrimination only as it's put forward with TV ads now running saying whites are bad people. By the way, the psych warfare chiefs want that for division. That's actually going to make white people, most of them, feel real scared of black people and embarrassed, like they have done something wrong, and so they'll try to stay away from black people. It's not that they won't hire black people because they dislike them. They won't hire them because they're scared. Very sophisticated what's going on. We're going to be breaking that down. It turns out the Trayvon video that the court has does show Zimmerman said had happened. But my point is, this is all a complete political diversion. I'm going to be getting into that. More on Obama declaring executive privilege, which you can't do over crimes, which before they said they didn't have any documents, so they've been caught perjuring again. This could be his Waterloo. This could be his end of the road. Which is a good thing overall, because you want to punish out-of-control executives and scare the next crop of crooks. But here it is. Checkpoint of the future. Take shape at Texas Airport. Love Field. That's the airport right in the middle of Dallas. Yeah, it used to be great to be able to fly to Dallas in 25 minutes back before the TSA. I could just fly up there, see family. Before I got a girlfriend and got married, go fly up there, go see girlfriends. And not anymore. I'm not going up to Dallas, not going to their water parks, not visiting family up there unless I drive, because I can't have my children subjected to known pedophiles. It's a real simple equation. You're like, you won't let your kids be grabbed and groped by men with weird mustaches with pot bellies as they lick their lips? No, I won't. It's sexual assault when anybody else does it. I wouldn't let anybody do that to my kids. I can't physically watch that happen. I would become very physically angry. Things would not be good. And I guess because I'm a weirdo, I get angry at stuff that everybody else 50 years ago would get mad at. I'm a throwback. I'm a Barney Rubble. What's the other guy's name on there? Fred Flintstone. Yeah, I am. Fred Flintstone. I'm evil. And it goes on to say, oh, they're going to have cameras in the parking lot and face scanners and license plate readers and checkpoints outside if they want. And see, it's just going to spread from the airports, the malls. As I told you, it's always the terrorists can now hit outside the airport. We got to push the checkpoint back. Oh, they could hit down the road. We'll have a checkpoint there. They could hit 100 miles from here. We'll put one there. They could be terrorists inside your house. We got to search. And so, again, they're advertising it like, oh, we're going to approve you to fly now and put you through the smart tunnels. But they can still drag you away. Drag you away to the pedo room.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
All right, David Icke is coming up here in the next segment. Again, thank you for joining us. Alex Jones here live on this Thursday edition. A couple program notes. Number one, I will be live this Sunday, 4 to 6 p.m. with the Sunday radio show. I'll leave it at that. Number two, I will be out on the streets of Austin today hanging up Obama posters. Stop the dictator Obama. And we've been sent hundreds and hundreds of entries for the contest. If you go to Infowars.com, it says Stop Obama Contest. There's a green link up there in the nav bar by the breaking news red link. And hundreds of people are sending us great photoshops of posters, and they're saying, here's my entry. Read the rules. You have to create or use our posters that we have right there and then hang them in public, legal, lawful commons, like the downtown area where all the other posters are at. And because it is political, somebody might try to say something to you, but they, if it's a commons area where everybody does that and it's fine, they can't say anything. Check your local laws. On the other hand, I'm being sent some videos that are really great, but it's like hanging them up at gas stations. And I don't mean on the bulletin board. I mean like sticking them to things. Folks, you don't want to do that. Or if you do, just make sure it's in a public commons area where other people do it. You know, if it's a telephone pole with 100, nails in it or 1,000 nails, it's almost like a work of art how many nails there are. For some reason, I think that looks cool. And you go staple it up there or glue it up there. That's fine. Somebody says something to you and it's like, did you go after the lady with the lost dog sign above it? You don't like my political speech. That is the most protected. And so the point of this contest is then the media will start covering these, and then it will get more attention. And this is an example of the grassroots power of people going out and hanging up signs. Everybody needs to do it, even if you're not trying to win the $15,000. $5,000 in by midnight central tomorrow, and we're going to watch them over the weekend, and by Monday night on Nightly News, we'll announce the winner. That's phase one, to get it going. Then 2 weeks later, $10,000. But legal, lawful areas, it's so easy. I mean, look, if you went out to the outside of a sporting event and handed out 1,000 copies and shot a good video of it, that would be in the running. If you went to the big downtown district where there's all the thousands of posters and hung up, it's whoever hangs up the most and shoots a good video of it and uploads it to YouTube and then sends it to contest@infowars.com. And again, we're getting hundreds and hundreds of great posters sent to us. We're happy to link to those. Some of them are a lot better than even ours. We have some great graphics people. Kay did an amazing job here in our office on that one. Murdering Dictator Obama, Infowars.com. Show them some of the other ones. But we also have listeners sending us some very creative ones. But it's not a poster contest just to make a poster. Okay? It's to hang them in public, get off the bench, and get involved on the street. That's what it is all about. And people say, well, why don't you do a Mitt Romney one? Okay, we'll create a half Obama, half Romney one. The point is, it's Obama that's trying to become a dictator right now. Well, if Romney does all this stuff, if he gets in, we'll go after him. You better believe it, politically. He is launching wars without approval, going after our guns without laws. He is shutting down power plants without laws. He's legalizing illegals. This is horrible. And when the media freaks out about it, they're taking the bait. So after you're done hanging them up, call up the local news and say, did you see this downtown? There's hundreds of posters calling Obama murdering scum. Better report on it. Here's the street. So the idiots who hate free speech go out and show themselves. Then they'll run TV pieces against it. It'll backfire, and everybody else that understands it will go put them up. That's what happened 3 years ago. So we're baiting the tyrants. You understand this? So it's at InfoWars.com right now. A lot of amazing videos already coming in. This is just the kickstart, priming the pump, $5,000. You got till tomorrow night. It's easy. Print off the posters, go hang them up, shoot video, upload it, send it to us. Boom.
From his Central Texas Command Center, deep behind enemy lines, the information war continues. It's Alex Jones and the GCN Radio Network.
That's right, my friends. You have found at the tip of the spear when it comes to trying to break humanity out of the mind control, physical trance that people are under medically. That's mainline science. The general public of television, iPad heads, is in a near sleep state, sleepwalking phase. Major studies out. Just type in Alzheimer's, television viewing, heavily connected to Alzheimer's. People are literally in a sleep state. They are the waking, walking, zombie, undead. And we are here to unlock their minds. What does John Carpenter show us in They Live? They live, we sleep. We are in their little false matrix-like consumer reality. Meanwhile, the real decisions are going on around us, and humanity is doing one of two things, sinking deeper into the sleep of living death, the trance, or accelerating their awakening. We are in such an incredible crossroads. This time is so amazing right now. But those that think they're going to find satisfaction through Madison Avenue in this culture of death, they're more unhappy than ever and desperate. All the studies and research show. But those that are awakening are so alive, we can hardly even handle it. It's so incredible. The New World Order cannot fulfill you, ladies and gentlemen, and that's the trap. You get deeper into it, you think that you'll be happy if you just go still deeper. We're going to be talking to David Icke, icon of awakening, here in just a moment. DavidIcke.com. I'm Alex Jones, of course, of InfoWars.com. It is the 21st day of June 2012 on this Thursday transmission. Here's some of what's coming up after David leaves us. The new TSA checkpoints expanding outside the airports, trusted traveler, but they're going to keep the groping, just add more with the hope that maybe if you behave yourself, you won't have to be abused. Total Pavlovian psychological conditioning, we told you a decade ago. After they terrorize you with the TSA, they would give you the solution, the cashless society, face scanning to buy and sell. This begins with the TSA, authorizing you to have jobs, to travel. It's an open announcement. That's how we knew all this was coming, the highway checkpoints, all of it. It's happening worldwide, by the way, standardized. Big Supreme Court announcements are set to come out today or in the next few days on socialist healthcare, eugenics healthcare, all of it. House panel votes to cite Holder for contempt of Congress. Obama pulls a Nixon and cites executive privilege. But you can't do that for crimes. You can only do that for private government operations, private meetings with ambassadors and people. You can't do it with shipping guns to Mexico as a false flag terror attack. Will this false flag terror attack that's killed thousands on both sides of the border bring this criminal to justice? And is it a good thing? We'll ask David Icke here in a moment. Is it good to punish a puppet? Does it scare other puppets not to follow their master's orders? It's a big victory. Fast and Furious came out because ATF wasn't pure evil, started leaking it. Also coming up, they're running new TV ads saying whites are inherently racist and bad. This is to create racial division. Right as many race wars break out and many blacks believe whites are evil and are now physically attacking them. The media is saying this is a great thing. They want us at each other's throats. We're also going to get into Australia plays its part in, quote, going green. Carbon taxes start next week. They say you'll be arrested if you criticize the carbon taxes. You cannot make up the magnitude of this. We're going to be breaking it all down today. And joining us now is David Icke. I haven't talked to David, best-selling author, former champion, goalie, BBC anchor, news and sports. I say head of the Green Party. He's here with us, former head of the Green Party. He's here with us today as he joins us every few months, graciously out of his busy schedule, to continue to chronicle where we are from his perspective on the map of awakening, fear versus love. And David, I don't ever do pre-interviews with you. So much is happening, but things are becoming so clear to those of us that are awakening. It's always a process of always still awakening more. I wouldn't say I'm awake, but compared to those that are in deep sleep, we are certainly on fire with the awakening. Out of the gates, what is front and center on David Icke's radar?
Well, a lot of things, really, Alex. Not least sitting in Britain this summer, we have a nightmare of Illuminati satanic rituals called celebrations of the Queen's 60th year on the throne and the Olympics and all that stuff. And it's all going on simultaneously. I mean, the Queen stuff has died down a bit now, but the Olympics is coming. So that's a major part of it. It's, you know, the symbolism is just an open book to anyone who studied it, what's been going on. But you bring an interesting point up there about people awakening and people not awakening. And it absolutely fits with what I've been saying and writing for years about the nature of the way we experience reality. For me, we have what I call body-mind, which is that which basically experiences the world through the conscious mind of the five senses. But we are in our infinite self, consciousness, awareness, that is beyond this reality of the five senses. And the idea in a non-manipulated, non-suppressed and twisted, distorted, inverted world, we would have the connection and the experience of the five senses. We'd be in this world, in this reality, in this frequency band we call visible light, the electromagnetic field. But we would not be totally of it, because we would have a connection and an influence from levels of our awareness, not some external guy in a spacesuit in a UFO, the greater level of our own consciousness, which would be giving us a fix on, from that greater perspective, from the top of the hill, if you like, of what we're actually experiencing. So you're in this world because you're interacting with it through the five senses, but you're not totally of this world in terms of the way you're perceiving it. Now, the whole basis of this conspiracy, the foundation of it, is to enslave our point of attention in the five senses, in what I call body-mind. Because then, once that influence of the greater self has been silenced, if you like, then the only place that people are going to try to get a fix on who they are, where they are, and the nature of the reality they're experiencing is to look outward through the eyes and the ears and look at the information that's coming back at them from that direction. And who is that? That's the education system, which has been set up specifically to program children and young people to become the non-challenging, non-questioning slaves as adults. It's the global media 24/7 in all its incredible forms now and expressions, which is feeding us a fake version of reality and a program version of reality. Peer pressure is doing it from people who've been through the same system. Parents are doing it to children because they've been through the same programming. And so it goes on. And so you get locked in this reality of little me, of I have no power, of I'm so limited, which is where they want us. But when you start to awaken, you know, these truisms, these phrases that we use and throw away all the time have profound truths in them, like, will you open your mind? When you open your mind, you let other levels of your awareness in, and suddenly you are not only seeing things, perceiving things that you couldn't see before, you're now seeing how dots connect, which you couldn't see before.
Sure.
Because you were in the world of the dots. Now you're accessing a level of self that can see how the dots connect. And not only that,
you're pulling back, basically. You're pulling back and seeing the larger image.
You're expanding your consciousness. It's like the difference between standing at a wall and looking at close range at a brick. and then pulling out and realizing the brick is part of a house, the house is part of a street, the street is part of a town, the town's part of a country, the country's part of a world, etc., which you see from the bigger picture.
And it's incredible to see the global standardization that you've talked about so much. I mean, this whole thing is a plan.
It is a plan, and it is, as I've been saying for years, at its foundation, the conspiracy is a mind game, and it has to be for a simple reason. The number of people in full awareness or even major awareness of what's happening and why and where the direction's going are so tiny compared with the target population that they cannot do it physically. They can in small areas with soldiers at the door and tanks in the streets, yes, but they cannot do it to 7 billion people. The only way they can do it and control 7 billion is to get them to perceive reality, perceive self, little me, no power, and all the rest.
It's all a magician's trick. That's what that's what the big government buildings are about. It's what the black uniforms are about. It's what this idea in all the dramas and shows about superheroes, the general public are cowardly and weak and pathetic. Only supermen can get something done. And now I go out and look at the public. They're so incredibly timid from just the way they were 20, 30 years ago when I was in high school and college. I mean, I'm not some tough guy. I'm not some adventurer. People think it's bold to go hang up posters against the government now. That's nothing. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, I mean, this is very much a time of a fork in the road, and which, you know, fork we take is completely in our power to decide. But it's a fork in the road between those that are getting pulled more and more into the five senses and the narrow, myopic perception of reality and personal power, and those that are awakening to the opposite. And what happens when you awaken to that greater self is something else happens, which you kind of alluded to earlier, which is that you start to get energized, because the more that we are imprisoned and enslaved in the bubble, that bubble is a bubble of energy as well as a bubble of awareness, and thus it constantly limits the amount of energy that we're actually working with. When you open your mind and let consciousness in, with that comes not only greater insight and greater awareness, but what comes with it is greater actual energy and vibrance and vitality because of what we're letting in.
Well said, David Icke. Let's look at what's happening in the Five Sense world straight ahead and beyond. Strange days have found us, my friends. They've come to destroy us. All right, I want to talk with David Icke in this short segment, long segment's coming up, about the Endgame Master Plan. I know he's written about it, he's talked about it, he's got a new book coming out, and I agree with a lot of his analysis about, you know, the nature of these people, whether they're delusional or not, who they think they are, what they're into, the occult, the fact that they see us as animals, the fact that they love suffering and pain. They're not like a normal person. It's a guild of psychopaths, and then some. They certainly believe what David Icke says they believe. Now, whether that is the case or not, whether they are what they think they are, the point is these people are out of their minds. They are totally and completely out of their minds and involved in eugenics, poisoning our food and water on record. David, this stuff's all coming out now. The Rockefeller documents, the UN's announcing they want to reduce population. Time Magazine, Newsweek are saying kill old people, kill children up to age 3. They're trying to get everybody just to accept pure evil that every culture knows is bad as good and say that good is bad. And they're now coming out in autopsy reports I saw a few months ago where most people that are now having autopsies done, they're finding nanotech in the brain that's in a lot of the processed foods. They've got designer viruses to try to make us submit, that, quote, make us not be angry anymore, that literally eat parts of our brain. That's mainstream news. So how do we stand up against that? These super weapons, these things they're about to deploy and are already testing on us. Because you talk about consciousness, everything they do now is targeted at the unconscious. That's why if you're somewhat awake, it's cartoonishly ridiculous. But for those that are in the trance state, they're believing everything the magician tells them. I mean, I'm babbling here, but you get where I'm going with this. What is their master plan? What is the technocracy, the drones, the control grid? What is it all about? Where do they want to take us with this?
Well, the thing is about mind, body, and consciousness. It's my feeling very strongly after nearly a quarter of a century of researching this full time that they have a frequency range which they are, if you like, it's their home stadium. And it's basically the frequency range of body-mind. It's the five senses and a bit deeper into the subconscious from there. When people become truly not awake, you know, it was a good point you made earlier, and it's a point I make all the time. None of us are awake because the potential of full awakeness, which is to be all that is, has been, and ever can be in full awareness, is rather difficult through these biological body computers that we call the human body, which are filtering, and they're full of programs to filter and
our Earth suit interface reality. Is limited.
Yeah, very. But you know, within that limitation, you can become massively more aware and massively more conscious than humanity is, beyond imagination more conscious. And once you enter those states, you're no longer playing away from home. You're no longer playing in their stadium. Not only can you see things that you can't see through the five senses, because it's basically looking, you know, through the wrong end of a telescope when you get caught in the five senses alone, but you can also disconnect energetically from them, and they don't have the same impact upon you. Like someone who has an awakening consciousness, their frequency, everyone's vibrating to a frequency. That's why they want DNA databases, or one of the reasons is because from the DNA they can assess and find the exact frequency that someone's vibrating or broadcasting on, and therefore they can fire technology like energy weapons at them.
And by the way, the mystics said that thousands of years ago in every culture. Now they've proven DNA is really an antenna, and that 96% they said was junk is not junk at all.
Well, this is an important point. You know, it's something I've gone into very, very deeply in the last little while. And I am today. I've been sitting in this seat now for 13 and a half hours since 5 o'clock this morning, actually working on some of that stuff. And, you know, what is happening is, you know, there's a Russian scientific research. There's some been done in America where they found a language. This is so important. They found a language within the 98% or whatever of what they call junk DNA or non-coding DNA, which officially they don't know what it does. But these research teams have found a language in there. And it's a language that does not relate to the same coding as the few percent of DNA that they think, but not really, but they think they know about. And what they've also found, interestingly, is that this DNA language reflects the patterns of human language, because some people, linguists and what have you, that have looked deeply at this, they found that the patterns of the English language, the patterns of languages from South America and Africa and etc., actually, although they sound different, their actual patterns are the same.
And everything is an expression of the DNA. Stay there. This is the heaviest info. We'll be right back. Through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central, noon to 3 Eastern, we're here live. Thank you for joining us. Georgia, he was looking for a soul to steal. He was in a bank. Our guest is David Icke. He'll be with us about 15, 20 minutes in the next hour, and we'll be taking some phone calls later in the hour. If you'd like to join us with any questions or comments, 800-259-9231, specifically for myself or David Icke, 800-259-9231. Now, again, I've studied eugenics. I wanted to discover what the globalists actually believe. They're occultists. They believe that they are the descendants of advanced extraterrestrials. They call it directed transpermia. And I have broken down the secrets of Prometheus leaked. That film, that clip I did has about 500,000 views on YouTube. So you know you're finding the right one. And I'm not saying I believe this. I'm saying the global controllers say this. And by the 1850s, and I'm talking Galton, the Wedgwoods, the Huxleys, the Darwins. If you go back and read, and we've got all this research, the Darwins and all of them thought they were star men. H.G. Wells was just their front 50 years later. He worked for those families on record. He wanted world government, a super science class, getting rid of the family, merging with machines. They envisioned this. Darwin, if you look it up, believed he channeled it. That's something they don't like to talk about because they want to make it non-religious. No, it's religious. It's totally religious. And you see in, as I predicted accurately because I had the script, in Prometheus, it's really humans that seeded themselves on Earth. That's what the globalists believe. They believe that they are made in the image of God, but that they are God and that the aliens are God. And that they have been genetically basically spliced. And you can argue that's the kind of stuff that's in the Old Testament and things. But the point is, whether you believe this or not, I don't want the New York Times saying I'm saying this. This is what the establishment believes. And if you look at the ancient symbol, several thousand years old, the Caduceus symbol, I'm halfway pronouncing it right, the two twisted snakes, the symbol of medicine, and then you look at the symbol of DNA, there it is. Now, again, the point is there's a lot of things the controllers know that the general public doesn't know. But if you really study them, you realize what David's saying. The actual controllers themselves are enslaved and locked in, and they're very into programming. They're very into ritual. Look at the Queen of England, all the things they do. The truth is they're only in power because they're ruthless. They're like cancer. Doesn't mean it's dominant. Okay, David, I'm ranting. You've got the floor. Break down what I'm getting into here. If you have any comments on Prometheus.
Well, yeah. Well, I could talk for the next 3 or 4 hours on this subject after researching it in such depth for so long, and I'll give you my fix of it after all this time. What movies like Prometheus and so many others are doing now? They're telling us. And it's a part in a big way about preparing us and programming our perception to accept it, that there was extraterrestrial non-human intervention in human genetics. I've got a grandson who's he's about five now. Just past five, and I was round at his house the other day, and he was reading this little book, and this book was for kids of his age, and it was a story about shape-shifting hybrids. Hybrid genetic people and super people and all the rest of it, all the stuff that you're getting in these movies. This is basically what happened. Human genetics was manipulated to turn us into a slave race. And it was done by encoding junk DNA, non-coding DNA, with emotional and perception programs, which if we get pulled only into the five senses and the lower mind, then those programs run our lives. And it is quite possible, people will be shocked by this, but it is very possible and probably very likely, it's not uncommon, that people can go through their entire lives without having an original thought or emotional response that hasn't come from the DNA biological software program. Now, these bloodlines, these so-called elite bloodlines, they are different. They are different because they've got a different programming. They were specifically created with programs running in their junk DNA, which delete, first of all, and my goodness me, this will explain a lot of things, which delete the ability to manifest or feel empathy. They have no ability to feel empathy or to put themselves in the feelings of those who they target, their victims. None at all. 3,000 dead on 9/11, pepper bombing Tripoli, not a problem. Making people, kids starve in Africa in a world of plenty, not a problem. There's no emotional consequence. They cannot decode it. They cannot filter it. And the other thing that's in other things that's in their DNA is that it is programmed to worship these entities as gods. And this is what Satanism is about. Satanism is making human sacrifice to the gods. Now, who are the gods? They operate outside of human sight, which is pathetically narrow. What scientists call visible light, which is the only frequency range that we can decode into what we see as a world of the conscious mind is so tiny, it's unbelievable. Even mainstream science says that the electromagnetic spectrum is about 0.005% of what exists in the universe in mass, matter, and all the rest of it. Some people, scientists say it's a bit wider than that, but not by much. And visible light is only a tiny fraction of that 0.005% or a little bit more in the eyes of some scientists. So we're actually basically blind. And now I've got a quote here from an article on DNA, which says this: from the characteristic form of this giant molecule, a wound double helix, the DNA represents an ideal electromagnetic antenna. On one hand, it is elongated and thus a blade which can take up very well electrical pulses. On the other hand, seen from above, it has the form of a ring and thus is a very magnetical antenna. So we are picking up, like a radio or anything that's a receiver transmitter, we are receiving and transmitting on the frequency that the receiver transmitters are tuned to. And what the idea is, and this is what the impact of this radiation agenda, of the mobile phone agenda, of the food and drink chemical agenda, probably of the chemtrail agenda too, in part, everything has many reasons, is actually to manipulate the DNA so that it receives and transmits on a narrower and narrower band, which means that we are bringing into our awareness, our daily perception, less and less and less, unless we're conscious.
So these are psychological warfare overlay compulsions, and the globalist, again, all I know is this, David, and this is what gives some credibility to what you're saying. Certainly their psychology is what you say. They believe what you say. I've studied them. That's why they do these rituals. They, in fact, they just don't feel empathy. They actually enjoy hurting innocents. That's why every culture is run by a weird secret sect that demands you bring your babies to them so they can chop them up, cut their hearts out, throw them into pits to idols, eat them. You know, I mean, that's not normal people. Why does every society manifest that group? Regardless, this is what we face with this system. But just to correct myself, it's not directed panspermia. I was saying directed transpermia. It's directed panspermia. And folks, look this up. This is in the big scientific books, you know, the Reuters, New York Times, the Huxleys, the Wedgwoods. 160 years ago, this whole school comes out and says, we're going to discover this DNA. We're going to do, and they created all the modern sciences, psychology, biometrics is 160 years old. Everything we are today, modern medicine, this group out of the British Empire, if you study it, it always leads back there. They created this modern world, and that's how they could write about atomic weapons 50 years before they were out. They could talk about DNA 100 years before they discovered it. How advanced is the secret technology they've got? Because in deep research of their own writings, there is no way they just envisioned all of this. They, what's happening?
Well, what it is directed information. That's what it is. Because, you know, we see, and this is, you know, when you get into quantum physics and the deeper levels of reality, what we see as a physical world is not a physical world at all. It's a holographic world, illusory physical. And it has many levels. It has the holographic level. It has a digital level. This was very well symbolized in the Matrix movies when Neo overcame death towards the end and saw everything as digital and all the digital things on the screens of the computers of the Matrix. That was the digital level being symbolized of this reality. There's an electrical, electromagnetic level, and the foundation of it, in terms of its construct, of everything, is a waveform level. Some people call it the vibrational level, but the waveform level. And therefore, everything we see in the holographic so-called physical world, whether it's food or drink or any of it, is actually in its base form a waveform information.
Energy.
So when you consume rubbish in food and chemicals in food and drink, you are actually absorbing into your energy field distorted twisted vibrational energetic information fields. And that's the level it's going on, Alex, because that distortion, that energetic twisting – distorts and twists the DNA which it interacts with, and thus changes and distorts the way that it decodes reality. Now, these particular bloodlines, they have a different DNA setup, which is one of the reasons they think they're so bloody special, which is actually decoding reality in a different way, not just with a lack of empathy, but they're actually able to access things in terms of their awareness of things that are beyond what humans can. This has been done specifically so that they can be in a situation of power and all the rest of it. And so what they're doing in their rituals and what have you is they're interacting with these gods. I mean, I've talked to endless people around the world who have actually participated in these rituals, most of them against their will, and they all tell the same story about how some of these horrific-looking entities are manifest in the rituals because of the energetic fields that the rituals are designed to generate. And when you go into this whole area going way back in history, whenever these entities are talked about by the ancients, one thing always is, many things, but this thing is always there, invariably. They demanded human sacrifice. Kredo Mutwa, a high Zulu shaman who's in his 90s now, a library of knowledge of ancient African lore and legends, he says that the legends say very clearly that cannibalism was introduced by these entities because they demanded it. And from what you've researched and what have you, and others that have researched this, these people do drink blood and eat the flesh. They do. And what's happening is, because these entities are operating at a different frequency outside of visible light, they can absorb energy in a different way to we can. When we express emotion, for instance, or fear or terror, you see someone's body language, their face, everything expressing that terror. But you can't see the energy that is generating. They operate in frequency bands which are in sync with that energy, so they can absorb it, never mind see it.
And this is what the atheists don't get.
Human fear, collective and individual human fear. So the more wars there are, the more economic crashes with all the emotional fear and what that come from that, all the more illness and death there are, they're feeding off it. They feed off that
energy,
David, of death.
You're absolutely on target with this, because if you look at it, everybody knows types that are psychic vampires. They love pain. They love to upset things. That's the state they like to get into. How many university studies, thousands, have proven the sixth sense, where you're at a restaurant, you feel somebody intensely looking at you, you turn around and there are their eyes. That has been proven in double-blind studies. This is what the controllers are aware of, but as you said, the ruling elite, every evidence is there that they themselves are a minion class and are basically addled and blind and don't know what's going on. I mean, it's and again, folks, the mystery, the majesty of being on a planet in space and all the incredible things around us, and we're worried about Bill Clinton and Obama and Mitt Romney and Dancing with the Stars. Everything is about narrowing what we're doing. Regardless of what you take away from this, that is a fact. And every culture was taken over by psychopathic killers. David Icke.
Well, this is another area that I'd like to talk about, which is very relevant to all this and explains a lot more things. You mentioned there about feeling the eyes of someone and turning around and they're looking at you. You're obviously not feeling their eyes. You're feeling their energy field for a simple reason. There's a great phrase, which is absolutely profoundly true. Energy flows where attention goes. And so when someone is focusing their attention on you, they are focusing an energetic connection to you, which that attention generates. Thus, you feel that energetic channel, that attention, and you turn around and they're looking at you. Now, this brings us into a massively important area to understand why these people put symbols and what have you, like the all-seeing eye and the flame and all the other things all around us, and why the buildings are built in certain ways and all the rest of it, and the power of television. Energy flows where attention goes. And what they do is that they create these symbols which resonate energetically in frequency terms to these entities. The same frequency of the energy field is vibrating that those entities vibrate to. Therefore, when people are manipulated to focus their attention upon a symbol of these entities, then there is an energetic channel generated between the person observing and focusing and the entity, just as you feel that same situation in a restaurant. When
it's an electrical connection, and they're not just sucking power out of everybody like the Matrix. They're also able to send information back.
Energy is information. Every time I say energy, I'm saying information. The whole universe is information, decoded and encoded information. Everything is. And it's manipulating that information that decides what is encoded, therefore what is decoded, that this whole conspiracy is founded on. So when you come to where I am now and the summer in London, which is a major, major center of the Earth's energy grid, the Earth's electromagnetic
field. This is a giant worship fest of the Illuminati.
Yeah, but why is the Illuminati so, and the families so centered in London? Why are they so focused in the city of London? Why? The answer is because they know, and this is why these pathetically small islands have had such a gigantic impact upon the world. It's because they came here a long time ago and settled one of their centers of operation.
Stay there. Got to go to break, Dave. We're going to come back with this. We'll also talk about all these. I want to know the globalist endgame from David Icke's research. We're going to ask him that in a moment when he finishes his point. By the way, symbolism is important. That's why I'm saying hang up posters everywhere exposing Obama as a dictator. We have a green link to some of the videos that are coming in the posters at Infowars.com on the right-hand top navigation bar. Stop Dictator Obama, Infowars.com. Also, you support the broadcast when you buy books, videos, T-shirts at Infowars.com or Infowarshop.com. Here's our newest shirt, End the TSA. And next time I fly, I'm going to videotape it too. I'm going to wear this through there. And I'm going to see if they get in my face. See, I'm not scared of them getting in my face. I want to draw them out. The system wants it all to be incremental, boiling us slowly. They don't want us to respond to them. So the new shirt, End the TSA. You ought to shoot video yourself with this. I mean, they get in your face, say, yeah, I don't want to be groped. I don't like you putting yourself in the way of travel. But you don't like it? You know, don't mess with my First Amendment. You want a civil rights violation lawsuit? You're not allowed to ask me about my shirt. Bunch of pervs. The point is, hey, they ought to name all these airports Jerry Sandusky International, okay? That's what they're into. And that's what all this is about. Psychologists admit this is training kids for this, which Icke exposes as another thing these psychic vampires do. David, I want to get into all these zombie attacks that are starting, where people just become total animals now. And because I guess from all the zombie programming on television, when they get into a subconscious mode, start trying to eat people. We see this in other cases in history when things start degenerating down to these lower bestial frequencies, as you call them. David, please continue.
Well, if I could just finish the point from a few minutes ago. These rituals in Britain and London this summer, the Olympics and the Diamond Jubilee and what have you, they're not obviously selected by random accident. It's been done and prepared for a long time, because the Earth has an energy field, yes, and it has an energy grid, of force lines, which are called meridian lines or ley lines or whatever. This is a grid of energy, a grid of information. And where these lines cross, a vortex is created. Where lots and lots of these lines cross, an enormous vortex is created. And these vortexes are interdimensional gateways, because the vortex spins several realities in the same vortex.
And I got to interrupt, folks, even if you don't believe this, the elite in their own writings believe this. That's why they build these Stonehenges all over the world at these sites. Ancient cultures thought something was going on, and the elites of today travel and build in those areas.
And London and the British Isles is one of the great centers, if perhaps the great center of this entire global web of information, of energetic information and these ley lines vortexes. Thus, what they do in Britain, what they do in London in terms of rituals and which is the manipulation of this energy field, impacts itself on the entire global energy field, because that's the heart center from which it all flows out across the world. And what we're experiencing now this summer, and we're in the midst of, is a massive double ritual to do exactly that. And of course, one of the especially with the Olympics, but also with the Diamond Jubilee.
They admit that's an Olympic. Hitler created it with the rings and all of it.
Yeah, and it's the flame. And the flame is also has the potential to be an interdimensional doorway. It's the nature of fire. This is why in their satanic rituals and at Bohemian Grove, they have fires. They use fire because they know that
it's
possible.
No, in Satanism, they just caught a guy doing it a few weeks ago. They burn a child. The burning is very important.
The fire is very much at the center of it, because they know it's an interdimensional portal, or potentially so. And that's why when a lot of people and psychics and others, they look into fire, they see things. They see other dimensional things because it's through the fire. And it, at the end
Stay
of the...
Stay there. Back in 1 minute.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Okay, we got one little short segment here with David Icke, then another segment. And it's the next segment that I'll go to James, Scott, Colin, and Steve. I'll at least get to those 5-6 calls for David Icke. David, amazing discussions we're having right now, but finishing up with what's happening right now in England or the UK. But then the end game. I mean, is the end game just keep mining us, keep controlling us, merge us with machines? You know, just use us as body parts. That's what the elite openly say, that the future doesn't need us. They want machines now. They want to get rid of most of us. I mean, why do the technocrats want to do that, regardless of who they really are? And what is the end game if no one opposed them, if this big awakening didn't happen?
Well, if I could just finish very quickly the point, it's that this great focus on the Olympic flame, and the flames were very much part of the Diamond Jubilee celebrations, that focus creates an energetic connection with the flame. And thus, when you have the Olympics with its audience of billions, that can be trawled from all over the world, because energy has no time or space. It just is. I mean, you know, distance doesn't matter. The connection matters. And thus, London is going through, and this is very relevant to the entire world, a massive ongoing satanic ritual through this summer to change the nature of the Earth's energy field. And that's why one of the reasons I've got this event at Wembley in London on the 27th of October, to get thousands and thousands of people together for a whole day to negate and flip this thing, because we can do that. We're far more powerful than they are. In terms of the end game, it's been a process, Alex, of gathering more and more and more and more and more control of human perception. And the next stage, which they want, is the cyborgs. And we're being prepared for that with the movies, with Schwarzenegger and all these other things, to actually start to introduce technology that we call technology, because they see the human body as biological technology. They don't see it as we see it. But to introduce technology that we can understand to it, and that technology will externally give them more and more control. The microchips are classic, but there are other things that they want as well.
Nanotech they put into us, yeah. You name it. Yeah.
Yeah, and so it's like a road which is getting more and more and more extreme in every way. It's like walking down a road or a freeway, and it gets narrower and narrower and narrower and narrower until it's just a path. This is what they want to do to us in multiple ways for the major reason, which is absolute mental, emotional, and what we call physical control. And that is all done through control of our perception. And the more bits of kit that they can put in, because they know the body's a biological computer, the more access they have to externally manipulate us, not least the microchip. That's the big thing to say no to at any price. Because, you know, they talk now about doing brain-computer interfacing, where you can sit at your computer and what you think comes up on the screen, and what you think the computer does.
Now it's not just Google tracking you. Now they're in your brain. That's going to be two-way.
Yeah, that's not just that's possible, that whole technology, that whole connection. It's possible because although the two computers are massively different in terms of advancement, they are actually connecting two forms of a computer. One, a very advanced biological computer, which has the ability to think for itself. That's what the immune system's doing. And the other is...
David, I'm going to go get it during the break. Aaron wrote an article about this on Monday, Sunday. MIT and big think tanks are actually calling it a genetic overwrite and call our brain a biological computer and say they're just going to take it over with this new synthetic genetic system. So they're already invading with all of this with their nanotech. They call it biotech, but it's really nanotech. This is a total war we're under. We'll be right back with David Icke. Amazing. DavidIcke.com. He's got that big event in Wembley. Can't wait to see that.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Alas, poor York, I knew him, Horatio, a fellow of infinite jest, of most excellent fancy. He hath bore me on his back 1,000 times, and now, abhorred in my imagination it is, my gorge rises at it all. And that is William Shakespeare, who was really a composite of different writers for an Illuminist guild, writing in Hamlet when they had dug up one grave to bury someone and found the skull of someone that took care of him as a child, the court jester. And again, you'll learn next Monday with a special video news piece why I have a real human skull here at the office and why I have that crocodilian 65-million-year-old saltwater crocodile skull. David Icke is our guest, and I really want to thank David for coming on. David, I want to go to calls as promised, but very briefly, because I want to get you back on and talk about this. You're having a big event to counter the globalist propaganda fest. You're having it at a big center, so it's going to get a lot of media attention. Very exciting to get people thinking. Tell folks about that. I guess they find out at davidicke.com.
Yeah, it's at Wembley Arena, which is a massive arena in London with the potential of 11,000 people, but we can have anything between 5.5 to 11. We're going to comfortably get 5.5, and how many more than that we get depends on how many people decide to come, of course. But it's to do a number of things. First of all, what I mentioned earlier, which is to get all these people of like mind together and create a very different and massively powerful energy field in the same city that all this rubbish is going on of the opposite kind through the summer.
You should stream it live on the internet during key times, too, so people all over the world can watch that can't make it.
Well, we'll see what we can do. The more people that can get actually in the arena, the better, because that energy is very, very important. But the other thing is that you mentioned there, to get a very, very large number of people together to hear information of this kind, and I'll be talking for about 9 hours.
Is revolutionary.
Yeah, but the point is that what I wanted to make a statement. Look, the world's not like it was before. It's changing. Why are all these massive numbers of people coming together to hear this information? What's going on? And as you say, the media will not be able to ignore it. And I think it's the most important thing I've done for a very long
time. It is. Well, October's hurtling towards us, so let's have you back up in a few months to really get into it in detail. Let's go ahead and go to some calls as promised. James in Texas, you're on with David Icke. He certainly gets you thinking, and that's something the globalists don't like, so he's good. Go ahead, James, you're on the air.
Hey, 2 days ago I was Oz, now I'm just James. I've declared myself a soft kill, and it is the most freeing thing that you can ever do to yourself. Just declare yourself a soft kill and go on and just get after this. And David Icke, to you, I would say, to the 5,500 that you have show up, have them be conduits. Have them accept the energy that we're all going to send.
Well, more than that, by energy, the energy of waking up and going out and reaching out and showing the numbers. Do you have a question for David Icke, sir?
The question I have for David Icke is why it's basically bounding on what he's already been saying. You know, why can't we walk through walls? The reason is what he's saying. I mean, he's absolutely correct, and I just wanted to piggyback on that and get out.
Yeah, my point is the elites believe in all the things David Icke is saying, whether it's totally true or not. This is the real deal. I appreciate your call, James. We got to move quick.
We live in a holographic world, which is not physical, but I'm sitting in a chair and I'm not falling on the floor. And we think in by the conscious mind's perception that it is something physical that's stopping me walking through the wall or falling through the chair. But it's actually electromagnetic resistance of two different electromagnetic fields or types of field. But when we decode it through, it appears to have solidity. That's the way. And if you can get yourself into a mode, an energetic mode, where you can sync with these other fields, then you can walk through apparently inanimate objects. But it's a hell of a challenge.
Well, that's what the Pentagon's working on, teleportation. They've now actually been able to do that. Let's go ahead and talk to Scott in Florida. Scott, you're on the air. Go ahead. We got to move quick, folks.
Okay. Hey, it's a great honor to talk to you, David. A great honor to talk to you, Alex. David, I'm 21 years old right now. I literally opened up your first book in 2005. In my junior year of high school, and I've been following you ever since, following your research. My quick question is pretty much in your book, which was the first book that I read, Infinite Love is the Only Truth, Everything Else is an Illusion. You pretty much go into saying how purpose controls us. And then you go on to say how, in the end, it's purpose controls us, but it's what defines us, but you have to go beyond purpose. And
most people have no purpose. They're spectators. They're not even conscious. They're not even real. And the globalists know that. They're biological androids that respond to the programming. That's 100% true. David?
Well, yeah. Did you want to finish that question, Scott?
The point was that when you have a purpose against something, you create, like, an opposite, conduit, though.
Yeah, the point about the manipulation is that we create our experienced reality from our sense of reality. The one creates the other. And we can do that directly, independently. But what the whole conspiracy is about, by these people that understand this process, they are trying to get us, manipulate us, by manipulating our sense of reality. They know that through that we will manifest.
The tail wagging the dog. Got to move quick.
That experienced reality. And that means that they're constantly trying to program our sense of reality, our perception of reality, because they know that becomes the reality that they experience. And therefore, what they're trying to do is give us their perception of reality, which is we are little people, we are limited,
yes,
we have no power. And that's the world we live in if we accept that nonsense.
Yeah, we got to move quick or we won't be able to get to any more of these calls. We only got about 5 minutes. Kareem in London, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, Alex? I live in Stratford. I live where they're hosting the Olympics. And basically, word on the street is that there's a lot of rumors going on and whatnot. So having listened to your show, and I know you've touched on it a couple of times, but is there anything that you could basically advise the residents or the people that live within the borough?
There's a lot of talk about staged terror attacks, but David, you know, is over there with you. I don't know if that's going to happen. They're going to use it as a police state conditioning operation, a big ritual of police state. David, your comments to him. I mean, I would get out of there for the Olympics, wouldn't you?
Well, if I could, I would, yeah. I mean, obviously, you know, people struggling for money and stuff like that often don't have a choice of to get out. But if they could, or they got friends, I'd get out of there for no other reason than the energy things that are going on there and in the unseen, whether they'll actually come up with a false flag event when all the world's watching. Well, who knows? But I tell you this, when it was announced years and years ago now that London were seeking to get the 2012 Olympic Games, it was a gimme. 2012, I don't agree with all the 2012 stuff, you know, that has been talked about, but it's a focus year and they've made it a focus year. That and London were so synchronistic, so symbiotic in their relationship. There was no way that London wasn't going to get it. So it's there for a massive reason. It might be just energetic, but it might be more than that.
Exactly. Everybody can just see the propaganda and also sense something big. Thank you so much, Kareem. Scott in Ohio, moving quick here. Go ahead.
Hello, Alex and David. I just have a quick question. Have you heard of Litha, the Return of Darkness ceremony? It's supposed to be held at Kimball Castle tonight, or a.k.a. Cherokee Ranch in Colorado. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, I mean, I've heard of those places out there, but I never really see any proof. Bohemian Grove does do rituals because I've infiltrated and documented it, David.
Well, it's the summer solstice today, isn't it? the 21st? And the Druids were at Stonehenge this morning. Nothing negative about that. It's their belief system. Good luck to them. But, you know, it's no accident that Prince William was induced to be born on the summer solstice. So that they play with these energies, these astronomical energies and astrological energies all the time.
They believe in it. I mean, all these elites are into the occult. It's not debatable.
Rituals will be going on today, elite rituals all over the world in the different countries. Absolutely.
Have you heard of the specific castle he mentioned?
No, but I mean, it's got castle after it, and they love castles. I mean, they've got their European castles all over the place. I mean, they just love the castles and the palaces and all that because part of their genetics it has an absolute obsession with hierarchy. And thus, they are absolutely obsessed with hierarchy and position and everyone in their place. This is why the Rothschilds have run around all over the bloody place, getting barons and lords in front of their names. They're obsessed with it. And the royal family, of course, are a classic.
Yeah, it shows how primitive they are. Look at this. Fidelity Investments funding synthetic biology takeover of life. Infowars.com. Lab-created artificial species will outnumber life. 50-1 financial firm says Fidelity is telling their investors they're going to overwrite as if none of us have a say, as if they just say this is the future. I mean, this is madness. What they're saying is 10 times wilder than what you're saying, David.
Yeah, Fidelity Investments. Have they still got the pyramid as their logo? They did a few years ago. Anyway.
They certainly do. The Shining Pyramid. We're out of time, David. Promise you'll come back on in the next few months.
Oh, not a problem, mates. I've enjoyed it.
I'm going to come say bye to you during the break. Thank you so much. Got 30 seconds. Closing comments, David.
Well, you know, just what we've talked about today is massively encouraging because this information that they've suppressed for thousands of years, this really, you know, getting really in the rabbit hole, deep stuff about how they're doing it, is coming out, and people, more and more people, are opening their minds to it. And thus, once we start to get the understanding of how they're doing it, we can stop them doing it. It's when we don't know how they're doing it.
Well said. DavidIcke.com, Alex Jones here. We'll be back in a moment. Infowars.com. Stay with us.
Don't worry. This show is documented. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
I fell into a burning ring of fire.
I went down, and the flames went higher. And it burns, the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
And it burns. I love the full song. Burns, the taste of love is sweet fire, when hearts like ours meet.
The ring of fire, the ring of fire,
and it burns. Look, this is what you should know. Every major global corporation, the big banks, they're all into the occult, whacked out of their minds, think they're God, think you're scum. They're just releasing biotech, releasing all the GMO, releasing nanotech, jacking the vaccines. Cancer viruses 50 years ago and still today. All sorts of nanotech. I mean, if it wasn't for our incredible genetics and the good Lord above, we wouldn't even be here right now. And you can take David Icke with his, you know, perspective. I wouldn't even call it new agey. All I'm saying is what he says about the elite, they believe that about themselves. Whether it's true or not, they are crazy. They are nuts. I mean, you can get the book at InfoWars.com, and it supports what we do here. Plus, we have it discounted because we got it back in print. Bloodlines, the Illuminati by Fred Springmeier. And I mean, I read that thing like 15 years ago and thought, this guy's crazy. The British royalty's Transylvanian, and they live part of the time in Transylvania and sneak around in the woods. Now that's mainstream news. I mean, all of it. These people are nuts. And I asked Aaron, he wrote this back on Monday, but I've asked him to repost it to the tiles at the top of InfoWars.com because I just mentioned it. And I didn't really talk about it on air. Fidelity Investments funding synthetic biology takeover of life. Lab-created artificial species will outnumber natural life 50-1, financial firm claims. And they just say, our fish will take over the ocean, our crops will take over the earth, the trees, the plants, and your body, and we're just going to release it, and that's the way it is. I mean, already, there's no more than about 20, really about 19, but that was a few months ago. They're about to proliferate hundreds of new crops, and within just a few years, 80%+ of world corn production, GMO that creates its own pesticide that kills bugs so they can't eat it, but you're supposed to eat it and it's okay, they say. Thousands of different pharmacological crops that produce live viruses in them that they use to put in vaccines or chemicals. Look up pharmacological crops. I mean, we're not in Kansas anymore, as they say. They're certainly in corn from Kansas anymore. But now they're releasing salmon they admit will extinct the regular salmon. That's not an issue, though. Your carbon dioxide that plants breathe, that plants really more like eat it. They don't really breathe it. That they use to move things through their systems. That's evil. The globalists are assaulting creation itself, just assaulting it. Honeybees are dying. All this other environmental crises. There are real issues. There are old forests shouldn't be cut down. There is toxic waste dumping. There's all this stuff taking place. Look at this ad they're running. I'm showing it where nature's black and white and ugly, but everything they do that's biotech is green. Their biotech is green, but nature's black and white. Oh, the XXL salmon's better. Oh, they're going to re-engineer bacteria. Oh, yes. It's so wonderful. And again, a lot of this stuff wouldn't be a problem if it was tested properly. But you can't trust the FDA because they're a bunch of crazy globalists. I mean, remember after a decade of Bayer shipping out Factor VIII to all the hemophiliacs and folks, a blood clotting agent? And it came out, they knew they were selling it with AIDS and hepatitis and that it killed hundreds of thousands worldwide. And they just thought it was funny in the board meetings. Ah, these people are crippled anyways. Kill them. And that's just in the board meetings, knowing about it. Of course, who else wants to create a scientific corps? And every government does this, every large one, every empire. The Russians did it, the communist Chinese, but nobody like the U.S. and England, taking their own soldiers and killing thousands of them right up until the 1980s. That's the last time they declassified stuff. I'm talking, again, march somebody in, hit them with radiation. March somebody in, nerve gas them. March somebody in, spray bioweapon in their face. Kill them and say they died on maneuvers of heat stroke or the flu. Look it up. Look up Operation Shad. Look up all these projects. And you're like, but the government's good, though. These are good people. You know, they just want to grope my wife at the airport because of Al-Qaeda. Oh, really, the same Al-Qaeda they publicly run? That's a fact that the banks that run our country run Al-Qaeda publicly. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it. We've got really bad people. You ever wonder why Hitler, Stalin, Mao loved to kill tens of millions and wear black uniforms and burn down cities? Because they like to do it. What the Aztecs like to do, what the Romans like to do. We have psychos running things. They might as well be aliens, okay? They're a bunch of, I mean, foreign aliens from 50 trillion miles away. Well, that couldn't be worse.
the silence come crashing in into my little world. Painful to me, it's right through me. Don't you understand?
Oh, my little girl, all I wanted, all I needed is
here in my arms. Words are very unnecessary.
Words are very unnecessary. For those of us that are already awake. But we tend to forget that. We tend to forget the fact that the general public is not awake. And that we're going to have to reach out to them. So many emails, so many calls. People say, oh, thank you for being there, fighting the New World Order. We're glad somebody's doing it. No. The whole point of this transmission, the whole point of this broadcast is to get you to become a leader and take action. Even if you only wake up 100 people a year, that's a lot. You may end up waking up millions a year, like I've been able to do, thanks to listeners spreading the word about the broadcast on Facebook and Twitter and their email and at work and telling folks about the local AM and FM stations they listen to. I mean, I'll be driving into work, hour before work, red light. I almost always roll down the windows and go, hey, tune into this station in an hour. You want to hear some important stuff for you and your family. You're like, what is it? Just believe me, you don't want to miss it. And it's that little act. It's that energy. So many people don't even want to talk to other people. That's why I love living out in the country, because people talk to you. They smile at your children. I understand being in the city, being busy, having some place to go, but it's just this me attitude where you think you're getting ahead because you're so self-centered. Now, I get, because the people are so nasty in the city, on the other side, not wanting to strike up a conversation because they can get so weird. And all of that compounds in together. All of that becomes a major issue. Now, Mark Moreno has always been very punctual on the show. He's down in Rio de Janeiro covering the big UN conference. His Skype didn't work yesterday, and then now the phone isn't working, and it may be a time zone issue. That's why time zones are so weird. You got to tell them, okay, you want to come on? You'll be on in 5 hours. In my experience, when somebody's in a totally different, what, we are getting him? Okay. Now he's on Skype. I just heard his voice. Okay. I like Mark. Always a jovial, friendly person. Continuing here, the Supreme Court was going to release the info this morning, and then it was this afternoon, and then it was in the next few days. That's why I was like, I'm not going to cover when this Supreme Court decision comes out, because they could wait. And now they're saying next week. The Hill newspaper reporting tensions rise as justices kick healthcare ruling to next week. And I've predicted it's going to be scaled back healthcare, but the banks want it. They wrote it, but people aren't buying it. And so it'll be selectively enforced. It'll just codify where basically they make you get healthcare, and then now charity care doesn't exist anymore unless you're an illegal alien. It'll just be an even more of a scam and fraud when they're done. And it'll be called a victory for conservatives to be mean and not give people health care. Really, we had health care, the best in the world, the cheapest in the world, and everybody got taken care of until government got involved. How many medical doctors have I had on this broadcast who talk about how when they went to college just 30, 40 years ago, they were told, you will do 1/3 of your care as charity care. Even if you're at a for-profit hospital, this is what you do Hippocratic Oath. And they expanded on that. These so-called charity hospitals, and that's most of them that got taken over by the Rockefellers and other big foundations, they're supposed to be charity hospitals, but they're really big profit hospitals. It's just that since they're tax-free, they don't pay taxes. Great scam. So nobody can compete with them, so they've taken over, and they're jacking up the prices. A lot of other things get involved here, but now that we have socialist healthcare, now the government says we do have to cut back on the quality, and now they're admitting in England over 30,000 old people killed each year. Oh, your brain tumor is 100% operable, if done in 1 month. You're going to wait 18 months. Well, it's almost 100% kill within 1 year. I've watched their parliament where they admit it, where those defending the National Health Service admit it. Okay, we got big breaking news here, ladies and gentlemen. Mark Moreno joins us from the Rio de Janeiro Earth Summit. And this is big news. This is big news now. We've got it linked up at Infowars.com from where it originates, ClimateDepot.com. Former top congressional advisor, researcher Mark Moreno, and also Christopher Monckton of Brenchley, Lord Christopher Monckton. They are making the new global government treaty, which they admit you'll be arrested. They said this in Durban last year if you criticize their carbon taxes. By the way, guys, pull up the headline. $1 million fine or million fine in Australia for criticizing carbon tax. You'll get mainstream news saying they have secret agents. Starts next week. Listening if you complain or say it's costing more money. This is Australia. Supposedly part of the, you know, Western free speech. This is worse than communist China. Well, now UN censorship, Rio Earth Summit text is now secret. Senior official of Transparent UN admits Rio negotiating text is classified. And we got Lord Monckton on tomorrow. Joining us is Mark Moreno now. Mark, big breaking news here. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is a shock. You know, I've been to every UN conference pretty much since the last Earth Summit in Johannesburg, South Africa, 2002. And you've always been able to go up and take a look at their draft text. They have a UN documentation center. They've always been willing to provide it. Well, as you know, Lord Monckton and ClimateDepot broke this story in Durban last year about the climate criminal court and the rights of Mother Earth. And it, you know, you picked it up. It ended up on the Drudge Report. It got picked up all over the internet, on television, cable news. This became a huge embarrassment for the UN, which they then pulled those parts of the agreement at the last minute. Well, this year, they seem to have learned from their mistake, and now they have everything behind restricted access. We can't even have access to the government delegation. We can't have access to the plenary session. We can't have access to these texts, either hard copy or available online. They have completely shut down what they previously have said. This is going to be the most transparent conference. They're going to make everything available. They apparently have a lot to hide. And here we are now going through full day two of this conference, and we have no idea what they're doing behind the scenes, because for the first time ever, they've banned us and they banned the public. They banned all the other organizations here from having a right to know unless you were part of an official government delegation.
So a desperate circling of the wagons, an open authoritarianism. Now, 2.5, 3 years ago at Copenhagen, they kept saying they would bring it out, but were negotiating behind the scenes. You guys got a leaked copy that totally destroyed them, where they said right at double the cuts for the third world. They told the third world, hey, get America, get Europe. We're going to give you money. It was no such thing. It was a eugenics blueprint. So now they want our governments to sign on to this global governance treaty. Break this down, but we're not allowed to see it. And then I want you to segue into, I'm sure you saw the articles, where with a straight face, they have the head, quote, climate cop saying, you will be fined 1.1 million Australian or arrested if you talk bad about carbon taxes.
Yes, I mean, that's all part and parcel. We have Maurice Strong had just made an appearance here yesterday, and he of course, was the godfather of the first Earth Summit. And he is down here, and it's not surprising. This is all he's now, by the way, he's now claiming that he just went to China as a coincidence, not to avoid jail or to avoid any criminal prosecution, that would just happen to be a coincidence after the UN scandals of years ago. He's down there, and it's not surprising that they've really turned what this process on its head by being completely secret. We don't exactly know what's going to come out of this. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton is going to be arriving shortly, and also Todd Stern, the U.S. climate envoy. I don't know what's going to survive in this draft yet. Maybe we'll find out on Sunday or Monday when this is all through. We'll have to see. But again,
so now it's like a giant Bilderberg group meeting with thousands of people paid for with taxpayer money, and we're not allowed to even know what's going on.
That's exactly what's happening, yes. And interestingly enough, we also have Richard Branson made an appearance today. Lucy Lawless, who was arrested protesting Arctic drilling, the actress from Xena, Princess Warrior. Actor Ed Norton is down here. Richard Branson was particularly offensive. He was against oil drilling despite owning three airline companies, a space company. He's touting small island nations' ability to live without carbon-based energy and go carbon neutral while he himself jets around the world. This is a guy who's got untold millions of dollars, maybe even a billionaire, proudly touting poor people living at barely subsistence level for rejecting carbon-based energy. And we're supposed to be looking up to this man. He did a whole thing with Greenpeace today talking about banning oil drilling in the Arctic and other places. And this is the man who's made his fortune off of carbon-based fuel through his airlines. And he's talking about space exploration at the same time. So this is the kind of offensive hypocrisy, repulsive stuff going on here. And keep in mind, James Cameron was down in Brazil, I believe it was last year, protesting development projects here that would bring running water and electricity.
Oh, I'm going to stop you. In Uruguay and places, the Amish went into desert areas, drilled wells. They were run out of Russia and Germany hundreds of years ago. They built it up. They're supplying half the food to multiple countries. And I've seen articles where the UN is trying to take their land, saying they're not good environmental stewards. All they want is the land. They're murdering criminal pigs.
Yes, we have reports of them slaughtering people in Africa and other places to seize this land, all part of these carbon credits and new things. And you mentioned Australia. Australia is now in the process of setting up essentially a climate central bank. And they're appointing people to set a price on carbon, to set renewable energy mandates. And most frightening of all, if you're a business owner and your costs go up and you have to raise your prices, you are forbidden by law to tell customers that it's the wacky and carbon policies of your government that are driving up prices. And this is from a country that under John Howard, just a few short years ago, I think until 2007, had joined the United States in opposing the Kyoto Protocol and all this UN nonsense. They went from being a free individualistic country to being bought and paid for by the Greens and Australians. It is shocking. If it can happen in Australia and they can have this kind of suppression of free speech and economic activity.
By the way, we're not joking. I've read the quotes from the official site. They call it lying. No judge, no jury. They said, we're going to have our spies in your stores, on the streets. If we hear any criticism of this tax when it goes in some areas, 50%, you will be given a $1.1 million fine or arrested. I mean, that's like out of this old Soviet Union. I mean, this is, you know, they admit it's going to increase prices. So they're saying you have no free speech. I just can't believe how evil these people are.
Yeah, I mean, this you'd think would wake up the conscience of liberals who seem to be, you know, always try to tout free speech. But it shows you they don't really care about free speech when they just care about speech they don't agree with. And this is a shocking thing. Again, Australia is not the country that would have profiled to sit and take this idly by. This was a country, again, that was actually on the outskirts with the United States and all these processes. But because of their new government, and Julia Gillard actually said initially when she was running she would never support a carbon tax, but then she had to get an alliance with the Greens in Australia, and so she reversed herself. So it's likely the next election in Australia will throw them out, but it's amazing to watch this happen. Australians should be rebelling in the streets.
It's a total coup d'etat by a corporate crony, government bureaucrat clash. We're designed to face a foreign enemy with ships and planes and weapons, you know, or an enemy running over the hill 5,000 years ago with clubs. We're not designed for the creepy bureaucrats that just ooze around. But now they've gotten so overt. What is going on? I mean, as the world mounts against them, are they just going into like some type of bizarre, frothing power trip? Is this a fleeing forward by these kleptocratic control freaks?
You know, it's hard to say. They can't be overly happy in one sense, because 20 years ago, they pressured a Republican president, George H.W. Bush, to show up at the Earth Summit in Rio. Now they can't even get Barack Obama to show up because environmentalism among the public is toxic. John Kerry said you can't even bring up global warming because people's eyes roll over. He said it's extraordinary. So world leaders are terrified of being associated with this, but at the same time—
Sure, they want a stealth implementation. They've bet the farm on it.
That's what I was about to say. Yes, they want to do this behind the scenes, and the UN is cooperating by banning stuff, making it secret, classified. But so what's happening is we don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but publicly it's become toxic to associate with this. So they're sending Secretary of State Hillary Clinton here, and it'll be interesting to see what Hillary Clinton has to say or do, but I can't imagine she's going to say much publicly. In addition, they've gone after Jesus Christ here, overlooking any— anywhere you walk in Rio and on the beaches in the city, you can see their famous and iconic Jesus Christ statue that overlooks the city. It has now been turned green in honor of the Earth Summit by the United Nations. So you see this big green Jesus hovering over the city. It says James Lovelock, the father of the modern environmental movement, who is now recanting almost fully, has said the green religion is now taking over from the Christian religion, and that's nowhere more evident than to look at this abomination of this big green Christ hovering over the city here.
Wow, I haven't seen that in the news yet. I've got to get that out at InfoWars.com. Has that been posted at ClimateDepot.com yet?
Yes, I have a picture of the green Jesus at Climate Depot, and it's this is just another morphing, if you will, of this. This is, you know, what they say.
Hey, but wait a minute. They're using big green light bulbs that burns carbon, and the carbon dioxide, the plants might breathe it and enjoy it. This is a horrible environmental crime.
That's right. And here's the thing. At the last Earth Summit, I interviewed Jerry Brown, the governor of California, and the same mindset here. They will literally say that the developing world can't emulate the Western wealthy nations. They can't have our lifestyle because the Earth can't handle it. They need to learn from our mistakes.
Oh, yeah, there's been backlashes. Tell us about that. Women are marching.
Yes. Well, here's the thing. The women marching, perversely enough, they believe that capitalists have taken over sustainable development. They think it's a capitalist sustainable development. They want a socialist sustainable development. So the UN, in essence, is being attacked from the left, saying they're not socialist enough. That's what those.
Well, yeah, the left wants to shut everything down and live in mud huts and ruin everybody's life. Right. But they're mad that the bankers have figured out a way to scam everybody with it. They're exactly. Like, no, don't do that. Just kill us, please.
Well, yeah, going back to what I said, Jerry Brown. The idea that the developing world isn't allowed to develop other than to have – we have the UN chairman here of the climate panel, Rajendra Pachauri, touting solar lanterns. And they're touting essentially solar panels on huts made of dung in Africa.
No, exactly.
And it's white, wealthy Westerners telling people of color in the developing world how they should develop. When I was in South Africa, which was in Durban last December, I met the South African activist who says openly, the white, wealthy Western world has no business telling people of color how to develop in Africa, Asia, South America, until we
are amazing. Mark, stay there. We're going to come right back, and I'll get Lord Monckton on tomorrow. Perhaps you can come on with him to make sure he can get on Skype, because it's been hard to get you on. ClimateDepot.com. I'm Alex Jones of InfoWars.com. We're going to come right back with the final segment with Mark Moreno, joining us from Rio de Janeiro, site of the UN global government mass murder communist meeting. We'll be right back.
Riders on the storm. Riders on the storm. Into this house we're born. This world we're thrown like a dog with love.
Tomorrow we're going to have Lord Monckton and Mark Moreno on for the full hour. We're almost out of time right now. Mark, I've been foaming at the mouth talking about how dangerous these authoritarians are. They're so out in the open. They're so dangerous. I mean, it's like seeing Hitler in old films. I feel angry and threatened. I see Stalin. I feel angry and threatened. Not because I'm some wimp. I know dirtbag scum. But they're dead. These are real, creeping, vicious control freaks. You're in a nest of them. What is Rio like down there right now? What are some of the other points?
Well, first, let me finish the point. The South African activist has said the wealthy Western nations environmentalists have no business telling small countries, undeveloped countries, how to develop until Washington, Paris, and London are willing to destroy themselves, level themselves, return to swamps, wetlands, and jungles. Until we're willing to do that, we can't tell them how they can develop. And we have Hollywood celebrities buying carbon credits, $10,000, to go to African countries to not allow Africans to develop, to keep their forests and, you know, to keep their forests.
It's eugenics posing as liberal while they run TV ads while you're out of the country saying whites are racist. Have you heard of this new campaign?
Not that campaign. No, I haven't.
Yeah, well, I mean, we'll talk about it tomorrow. Other points. Go ahead.
Okay, well, the other thing is this city, people think, oh, you're at a beautiful beach in Rio. I mean, this is really, I hate to use the word armpit, But the beaches are filthy. There's trash everywhere. The infrastructure's run down. The sidewalks are crumbling. The buildings thing. And I'm in a very nice section. I'm in Ipanema Beach is where I'm staying, and I'm near Copacabana. There are a few nice places if you go, but they're mostly private beaches. But in terms of a public place, this is, it's amazing. They always pick third world hellholes in a way. You know, we were in South Africa. They picked places in Kenya previously. They picked picked as far away as possible. The one thing the United Nations knows how to do is throw a party. And when they, at the last UN conference, they actually, the UK paper interviewed the chefs that were flown in to do caviar and champagne and all these exclusive meals while world leaders dined and toasted each other and talked about world poverty. They also clean out all the local people from these cities to make them look as clean as possible. So you end up hurting street vendors and other things here. So it's all a facade. Everyone they purport to be helping, they actually are hurting the most. And places like India gets it. Developing world, they told the UN they will not sign on to any treaties that limit their development.
China said no, too. Look at this article since I mentioned it. Unfair campaign, another divide and conquer front. Billboards, TV ads saying I'm white, that's unfair, and saying whites are inherently bad. This is being paid for by the state government of Minnesota and with federal government funds as well. What do you I mean, again, they're murdering people all over the world, turning their power off or stopping development while lecturing us that white guys are bad. Total race war garbage. What do you make of this?
Yeah, in fact, we've unearthed some old papers. This is an old impulse. They said the climate was stable in Australia. This is back in the 1870s or so, until white settlers came in. And this is what this has been happening all along. They're always trying to blame it on the evils of the white man. In fact, they would argue that, you know, Western development is the most evil thing. And that was, and there's a race component to this. When you have white wealthy Westerners, and I met people that come to these Earth summits, the college kids, I call them eco-missionaries. They preach to the developing world, living in huts of dung and dire poverty, that they're living Earth-friendly. They're doing it right. They've called the U.S. lifestyle total BS because we have development, we have wealth, and we have infrastructure. So they've turned everything on its head at these conferences and these activists that are here.
Well, they're a foreign army. They want to cut our resources off. They work for the globalists. It's a scientific plan. Thank you for going to great lengths to join us, Mark Moreno. You and Lord Monckton will join us tomorrow in this same hour with even more updates from Rio de Janeiro.